Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Welcome to all on the sixth Sunday of Easter. Welcome also to all who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Gordon. This Mass is being offered for Abdallah Sakem.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
As we come to this conclusion of the Easter season, preparing for Ascension next Sunday, and then Pentecost the Sunday following, we make room in our hearts for the gift of the Holy Spirit. May there be no worldliness that keeps us from embracing the very Spirit and the presence of God in our lives and in our hearts. And so let us make way for the Lord to dwell in our midst and to lead and to guide us and to be the advocate that Jesus promises today in the gospel by calling to mind any of our sins and our faults and failings and surrendering it to God's mercy and forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, that we may celebrate with heartfelt devotion these days of joy, which we keep in honor of the risen Lord, and that what we relive in remembrance, we may always hold to in what we do. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed or crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. shout with joy to God on the earth. Oh, sing to the glory of his name. Oh, render him glorious praise. Say to God how awesome your deeds. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Before you see the works of God, awesome his deeds among the children of man. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. He turned the sea my prayer, nor withhold from me his merciful love. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
Reading from the first letter of Saint Peter. Beloved, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope, but do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. The word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. We are 2 weeks away from the end of the Easter season. Pentecost is upon us. We reflect on this birthday of the church, the beginning of the mission, united by the Holy Spirit. The apostles gathered together are sent forth by the fire of God's love, leaving the confines of the locked upper room and their concerns for their safety. They're so inflamed with love for neighbor that they go forth and risk their lives, and they truly do risk their lives. So many of them do lose their lives eventually, so as to bring others to salvation. Our readings are a reflection on that power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can see the Holy Spirit, that we can come to appreciate how much we need the Holy Spirit that unites us, that sanctifies us, that becomes an advocate for us, that teaches us truth, reminds us of what Jesus has taught, that leads us to the kingdom. That first reading, we've been reading the Acts of the Apostles all throughout the Easter season, and it's so inspiring to see how the Holy Spirit just works and leads and guides them. They have no plan. And even when things go miserably wrong, the Holy Spirit just uses it. It's a persecution, it scatters that early class of deacons. So driven by the persecution, they go everywhere. And what do they take with them? They take the gospel. So here's the deacon, Philip, baptizing Samaritans. It's a sign of the gospel already spreading out, moving beyond Jerusalem, moving beyond the confines of Israel, going out to be a light to the nations. But deacons don't confirm. And so when the apostles go through that region, they realize that there's baptized Christian Samaritans. Okay, you haven't been confirmed yet. They lay hands on them. They call out the Holy Spirit. The apostles are the early bishops of the church. They invoke the Holy Spirit. They're confirmed in the faith. St. Peter writes in that second reading, talking about that witness, to give the witness of your lives. This is a good one to know. 1 Peter 3:15. Always have a ready explanation for your faith in Christ. When you encounter people, they're like, "Well, why are you Christian? Why are you Catholic? Don't you know better?" Always have a ready explanation. "But there's scandals, but there's failures." Yeah, amen. Oh yeah, the devil's always lurking around somewhere. But it's the power of Christ to be able to give your witness of how Christ has worked through the faith, our Catholic Christian faith, how we've encountered God's mercy and God's love and God's friendship. And yes, there have been scandals and there's been failures and all of that. We're all sinners. And yet, the beauty of it and the confirmation of it is that God has written straight on all of these crooked lines, right, in our own
sinfulness and imperfectness and raised up all of these saints and shown us so much grace and mercy, even despite sinful instruments. I think that's the true confirmation of the true presence of Christ active in the presence of the Holy Spirit guiding it. You're right, if this was a human enterprise, it would have failed epically a long, long, long time ago. Always have an explanation. What has the Lord done for you, right? What's your 30 seconds? Somebody asks, what has the Lord done for you? Come, Holy Spirit, right? Let's give that witness. Let's give that testimony. Always be ready to say something, something to inspire. How has the Lord changed your life, answered your prayers? Why are you still here? Why are you still here? Always good to have that answer. And we come to the gospel again, also talking about the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus at his farewell discourse at the Last Supper. He knows he doesn't have a lot of time with them, but he's always going to be there with them. Why? Because he's going to send his Holy Spirit to lead him, to guide him, to be an advocate, to lead him to all truth, to remind him, and to be that unitive force, to sanctify them, to be an indwelling power of God, that they're united to the Father and the Son in the Spirit, to be with them always until the end of the world, right? So, we are gifted with this tremendous power of God, this indwelling of God. And how we need it? We need it for the mission, but first and foremost, you know, you can't give what you don't have. First and foremost, we need the indwelling power of God, and we need to welcome the Holy Spirit and be renewed in the Spirit and to stir up in flames, right? The flames of that divine love. Stir those graces, right? Stir them up. If we've not really called upon them, if we've let them lay dormant, stir into flame that gift of the Holy Spirit, that we will be on fire with the Holy Spirit, that we'll be united in the Holy Spirit, that we can go forth, right? Because we can't give what we don't have, so we'll be alive in the Spirit. And that's the beauty of Pentecost, is the beauty of that Pentecost novena, which begins this Friday, that we invoke the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. It's not just for Pentecost. We really do need the Holy Spirit each and every day. You know, this is John chapter 14, this gospel, John chapter 14. And in that same section of that farewell discourse in the middle of John's gospel, as Jesus is discussing things with the apostles at the Last Supper, he's asked, we don't know the way. We don't know where to follow you. We don't know where you're going. Show us the way. And Jesus' response is simple, I am the way, right? How do you find the kingdom? I'm not going to give you physical descriptions like put this into your GPS. Four blocks down, turn left, you're going to go around the bend. It's not like that. Right? Who gets us to the kingdom? Jesus. Who forgives our sins? Jesus, right? Who suffered and died for us? Jesus. In whose name are we baptized? I am the way. Follow me. Stay close to me. And what unites us in the Spirit, right? The Spirit is what unites us in the body of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. We need that. Who leads us? Who helps us to stay close to Christ? It's the Holy Spirit. So we do need the Spirit. We need the Spirit daily. And sometimes we can kind of forget that. It's easy to forget that. A beautiful thing to practice, you know, again, as we think about the season of grace and Pentecost, the call on the Spirit, and get used to calling on the Spirit daily in our prayer. Whenever we encounter something that we need a little help and guidance with, which should be pretty much everything, right? Our work life, our home life, our marriages, our family difficulties, our unanswered questions, our discernment of which course do we take? Do we go down this road or that? Come, Holy Spirit. And it can be that simple. You don't really need a fancy prayer. God doesn't require fancy prayers. It's beautiful when we have them. They're eloquent.
They do teach us. A good prayer is didactic. It teaches you how to pray. There's a lot to be gained and learned from a well-crafted prayer. But when you're invoking the Holy Spirit, it can be as simple as, "Come, Holy Spirit, lead me, O Lord, guide me. Come, Holy Spirit, show me the way." Those simple prayers that we can just, under our breath, invoke the Spirit. I'm not sure what to do here. I have to have a difficult conversation. Come, Holy Spirit, right? Got to talk to the boss. Come, Holy Spirit. Got to talk to a difficult, you know, relationship. Come, Holy Spirit. Not sure what to do here. Come, Holy Spirit. Anything you need, come, Holy Spirit, right? Invoke the Holy Spirit. Invite the Spirit to lead and guide you, to be that fire of divine love, to help you to say what you need to say and to say it with great love and truthfulness, to be a light unto your feet. So getting used to, again, repracticing invoking the Holy Spirit throughout the day, get into that habit. Come, Holy Spirit, invoke the Spirit with frequency. But secondly, then let's discern where the Holy Spirit really is guiding us. You know, the challenge, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we speak of the Spirit as a wind, as a breath of life, the Ruah, right? The breath of God. It's hard to see wind. Wind is pretty invisible, unless it's acting on something. So if you want to see if it's windy out, look at the flagpole, look at the trees. Do you see the leaves moving to and fro? Okay, well, it's windy out. You see the action of the wind on things. So it is in the with the Holy Spirit, and that's why we pay attention to the fruits of the Spirit. If you really read Galatians chapter 5, you'll get 9 out of the 12 fruits that the church names. 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, mildness, self-control, chastity. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. When the Spirit is operative, those fruits, that's the fruitfulness. And so that's what you look for. How do you know where the Spirit's leading you, where the Spirit's working? Look for the fruits. That's what it's like watching the wind blow the leaves around. It helps you to see the invisible. So we invoke the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Not sure what to do here. And then we look for, as we pray, the fruits of the Holy Spirit acting on us, on our hearts, on our minds, on our souls. And the three easiest to discern are love, peace, and joy. Love, peace, and joy. Those are if you want to see a real visceral change, love, peace, and joy, right? When you're praying about it, okay, Lord, I got a decision. Do I go down path A or path B? Well, pray about it. Just kind of imagine yourself, right? Well, what would my life look like if I take this journey, if I take that journey? Sit with it and pray with it. As you're praying about it and kind of imagining, okay, well, where will this road take me? Where will that road take me? Do you find that as you pray about one of those options, do you find that there's a greater peace, that the anxiety suddenly subsides? Pay attention to that. That's not accidental, right? You're nervous. You got to change. You've got a decision. You should be nervous. You should be anxious. And then all of a sudden, it just comes to calm. When you think about that answer, it just melts away, the anxiety. Pay attention to that. That's not accidental. Those are like the little batting signals, real subtle hints that maybe the Spirit's nudging you in that direction. When you think about one of those options, do you just feel like your heart is inflamed with love? Not lust, not pleasure, love. Sacrificial love, that if I go this route, that it's going to be an opportunity for me to give of my life to the God and neighbor. Okay, pay attention to that. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Or joy, not pleasure, not happiness, but just joy, like your heart just leaps, even if it's a scary option. When I was discerning priesthood, I could feel joy about that. It's a scary option, but there was joy. If you can have joy and be scared at the same time, that's kind of interesting, right? There's something about that. Pay attention. Fruits of the Spirit: love, peace, and joy. That's what you're kind of looking for, as you sort of pray about, what option do I take? Where do I go? These are my options.
When you pray about those, do you see those fruits of the Holy Spirit? Pay attention to that. Sit with it for a minute. Don't rush into it, but sit with that for a minute. If that's consistently your experience as you think about option A, B, or C, maybe that's the Spirit talking to you, sort of guiding you, nudging you along, that this is where God is preparing the way for you, that love, peace, and joy will be yours when you go down this path, not the anxiety of the world. So invite the Holy Spirit into all of your decision-making throughout the day, no matter how small. Come, Holy Spirit. Can't hurt to have a little guidance, right, in all things, big and large, and big and small. And then the same thing. Then discern, where's the Holy Spirit? Look for the fruits. Love, peace, and joy. Makes it easy. And then, of course, lastly, the third thing, very Trinitarian, is we got to step out in faith. The Lord says, hey, if you love me, do what I command. If the Lord's calling us to something, then step out in faith. Give it a leap of faith. Give it a try. Be obedient to that call. Give it a try. And let's face it, all discernment is more art than science. But if you're stepping out in faith to do the Lord's will and you muck it up, will not the Lord make it up to you and get you back on the right path? Right? Absolutely. Why should you be afraid? If you're stepping out in faith and you're trying to do the Lord's bidding and you get it wrong, trust the Lord's going to make it up to you. It's not going to punish you. You stepped out in faith. That was a bold move. And oftentimes when you step out in faith, you're leaving something behind. You're leaving the familiar, the comfortable behind. You're taking a risk. There is a certain detachment required to do that, a certain humility required to step out of your comfort zone, to leave something else behind that you're more comfortable with. The Lord's going to make it up to you if you mess that up. Trust that. He'll get you back on the path. You're stepping out in faith. That's a beautiful thing. So come, Holy Spirit. We'll pray for the Holy Spirit to be stirred into flame in our lives, to draw us closer to God each and every day, to lead us, to guide us, to be an advocate for us in our prayers, in our needs, and also to help us to give that witness of our lives. And when people ask, well, why are you Christian? Come on, can't you, you know, you have all these rules and this morality and, you know, you could just be doing whatever you feel. That the Holy Spirit gives you the words to say, that's kind of overrated, isn't it? You know, you can do whatever you feel. That gets old real quick and often gets you into a lot of hurtful and destructive behaviors real quick. It's not all it's cracked up to be. I've been following the Lord for these years and I've found a peace that the world can't give. May the Holy Spirit give you the words, whatever that would be, however you would say it best. It's got to come from you. It's got to come from your heart. That's going to be most convincing. May we give the witness of our lives to those that the Lord places before us, that they too may come to know God's love, God's mercy, and that breath of life, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and profess that faith which unites us as the body of Christ, the church. I believe.
Amen.
Let us bring our intentions to God, asking Him to have mercy on our needs and the needs of the world.
For the church and its leaders, may the Holy Spirit renew us each day to keep our eyes fixed on Him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who lead or govern, may they serve with courage, humility, and compassion. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all struggling with difficult family relationships, may the Holy Spirit guide them toward reconciliation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For this community of faith, may we grow in compassion and love through the grace of the Holy Spirit and the example of Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are sick in mind or body, may the Easter promise of new life in Christ bring them healing and consolation, especially our television, radio, and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who have died, marked with the sign of faith, may they come to share in the fullness of eternal life, especially Pauline Brennan, Martha Blondie, Brenda Gordon, and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Loving God, we bring our prayers before you with confidence that you will hear and answer them. Grant what we ask according to your will through Christ our Lord. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept our sacrifice and praise the Lord's name.
May our prayers rise up to you, O Lord, together with the sacrificial offerings, so that, purified by your graciousness, we may be conformed to the mysteries of your mighty love through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all, to laud you yet more gloriously. When Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed, by the oblation of his body, he brought the sacrifices of old to fulfillment in the reality of the cross, and by commending himself to you for our salvation, showed himself the priest, the altar, and the lamb of sacrifice. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exalts in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise, for through your Son, O Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." A mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to a second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray upon the oblation of your church in recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all of the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and the salvation of all the world, be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servant Leo, our Pope, and Earl, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you in your compassionate, merciful Father. Gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world, to our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life. Give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Savior's command and form by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, power, and glory are yours now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord,
I am not worthy to enter into the house of the Lord.
Please join with our first communion hymn, number 701, No Greater Love, number 701.
Let us stand and pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who restore us to eternal life in the resurrection of Christ, increase in us, we pray, the fruits of this Paschal sacrament, and pour into our hearts the strength of this saving food. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless and keep you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thank you for joining us today for the Outreach Mass. I'm Father Gordon Riegel. Whether or not you are comfortable sharing the faith with others, when you support the Outreach Mass as a disciple, you are sharing the good news with thousands of viewers across Michigan. Please help us to keep the Outreach Mass on the air. You may send donations to Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. Thank you for being part of our worshiping community and for sharing the faith. May God bless and keep you.